Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Mary, our dear Savior, our friend, dearly redeemed believers, do you have anyone that you know that really loves to make Christmas recordings? There are still ancient songs across the airwaves from stations 24/7 all through the month of December. Most of them in English. But you could probably find CDs or download the songs in Italian, Latin, Hebrew, some, German, lots of languages with all sorts of songs. And it's amazing to me how the subjects are so varied. You have the old classics like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and something more new and upbeat like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Sometimes it seems like the composers are a bit hard up for Christmas. Different songs, different languages, all across the ages. So if we're supposed to sing the new song of Christmas, do we need to ask which one? Let's look tonight at some characters of Christmas, to hear their answer in the new song of Christmas they were singing and are still singing today. Words and languages change, but this new song of Christmas makes us forever new inside. They sang it. We sing it. In simplicity and beauty, a new song of Christmas to proclaim God's glorious salvation. Proclaim God's glorious salvation. Sing the new song. I look at these words and I think these first three verses, can you think of a character that would really fit these? Think through the ones you know from Christmases past, Bible Christmases. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Who do you think of? Character of Christmas. One of the songs about her just keeps going through my head. I don't know the words because they're Latin. But it's a Latin translation of what the angel Gabriel said to her when he said, Ave Maria, Hail Mary. Problem is that Franz Schubert wrote a song named Ave Maria and changed everything from what Gabriel said in announcing the birth of Jesus. And Franz Schubert's song is a prayer to Mary to intercede for us sinners, something the Bible never commands and never encourages. Not a bad song, so since I don't know the Latin words anyway, I just make up my own as the melody goes through my head, praising God for this beautiful young Jewish maiden that God chose to be the mother of our Lord. Honor God for his blessings in that woman, through whom God came to this earth to be the Savior of us all, the God-man, Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel from heaven came and said, Ave Maria, Hail Mary. Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Troubled in her heart, of course, he had to tell her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. It's another word for grace, charis in the Greek New Testament. It means undeserved love. Mary didn't deserve it either, and she admits that. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. She's innocent. She's pure. She has a question. How can this be? I'm a virgin. She couldn't earn it. She couldn't ask for it. No one could make this happen except God. So she asked, and the angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God, not even coming to this earth through the womb of a virgin. But who would believe Mary's story? Who would believe God's miracle in Mary? She had a cross to bear for the faith in this Christ inside her womb. Because everyone who looked at her would think much differently. And yet she pressed on in faith. She continues to proclaim the Lord's salvation day after day. Her song, which we call the Magnificat and sang in church this morning, declares his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people, even to this day. Mary, a character of Christmas. But to get a character for these next three verses, you're going to have to think of someone far more sinister. From one end of the gentle scale to the far end of violence and evil. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. But most people worship their own gods. And for most, the god is self. Who was the most sinister character of Christmas? How can you get more evil than Herod, the so-called great? 40 years, he's working on that temple of the Lord in Jerusalem to make it into a magnificent wonder of the ancient world, the largest man-made structure at the time. He told the Jewish high priest his grandiose plans to put a roof over Mount Zion, to extend a floor out over the edges of that little hill, and make a floor big enough for 25 football fields, the largest man-made structure in the ancient world. They knew well enough he would tear down the old temple. It was 400 years old. It was nothing impressive. They had built it, the Jews, when they returned from Babylonian exile. So that was an easy thing. It's just they did not trust this puppet of the Roman government to build a new one. So Herod had to cut all the stones first. For 7 years, his men quarried stones and cut them, some of them larger than any of the stones in the pyramids of Egypt. 40 feet long, 10 feet high, weighed tons. We still wonder how they got those so close together that you can't slip a knife between them. Herod was a great builder. And he finally got them convinced it was time to build when he had the stones cut. And he figured out a way that those beautiful golden roofs and that white shining alabaster, it was actually plastered stone, could look bright and shining in the night sky with candle-powered magnified spotlights that made it so Jerusalem's temple would shine everywhere. But there was darkness in his soul because he had no use for the God of the Jews. Herod thought he was the king. And no way would he allow anyone to come and even suggest that there would be another. Herod the Great ordered the death of all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, to make sure that he could kill the Christ. Well, finally, Herod met his creator. But he never sang the new song of Christmas. He met his creator and then learned that his creator is indeed the Lord. And all the idols of the nations are, the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. From hell, Herod finally realized splendor and majesty are before God, and strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Unless we sing the song of Christmas and learn to proclaim God's glorious salvation, we cannot avoid that hell of Herod. There is but one way. We need to learn the song. We need it in our hearts. We need the Christ of Christmas. Sing the song of Christmas, proclaim God's salvation day after day, and worship in the splendor of his holiness. Our problem as Americans is that we tend to have a whole different idea about worship. Think about it. Do you find that you, like other Americans, perhaps worship your work at your play, and play at your worship? Isn't it true? We worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. We have this idea about worship that it ought to be entertaining. Don't ever mention sin. Don't ever mention repentance. Don't mention those things that make people feel bad because you can't fill the seats. Make it entertaining. Make it something that people can come to and really feel good about. But it's not the message of Scripture. And we can't learn to sing the new song of Christmas if we don't know the old song and what it means and why there is a Christmas. In fact, who thought of Christmas anyway? Who first thought of this? I tremble when I think about the mother who was so tired from her shopping all day long and finally, with kids in tow, gets to the elevator and the doors open and the thing is full already. There's barely room for her kid's stroller. Finally, they all crowd inside there and she is just as frazzled as can be when the doors close. And in frustration, she says, "Who thought of Christmas anyway? Who started this?" And from the back, a firm, quiet voice said, "Don't worry about it. We already crucified him." And we did. With our anger at our families, our grudges at work, the frustrations that we take out on those who are around us, our sins crucified God's own Son. But that's why he came. And that's why the third characters of Christmas came so far, weren't too busy to worship the Lord or travel that far. And I think of them when I hear the psalmist 1,000 years before Christ say, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." We must get rid of this idea that God will take us the way we are. He loves us the way we are, but he loves us far too much to leave us that way. And he cannot take into his heaven sinners, uncleansed. He told the Israelites, the ancient Jews, "Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy." Holiness is one of his attributes. He is holy, pure, sinless, and he cannot, in fact, the Bible tells us, without holiness, no one will see God. Where does that holiness come from? It's not from me. It's not from you. Everyone who sang the song of Christmas, the new song, knew where it was from. And so did the wise men, the magi, with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. As they offered these gifts of gratitude and thanks to the Holy One from God, who came down from earth to heaven to give us the holiness God demands as a free gift of His grace, received by faith. Believe it, and it's yours. God brought it down in Christ for all, and they gave their offerings in His courts, the humble stable where the Christ child lay. Fourth character, I think of him in Psalm 96, verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Who needed judgment in His favor as a character of Christmas? Who had every reason to be angry that He was sinned against? He trusted her. He got engaged to her. And everything His eyes told Him was that she cheated on Him. Mary was pregnant. And Joseph, her fiancé, knew it was not his child. But God calls him a righteous man. This Word of God tells us you can only be righteous by faith, receiving the righteousness that comes from God, that He gives. How is this that Joseph, as a good Jewish man, didn't just go to the authorities and have her executed? That was a capital crime. Instead, as a righteous man, showing his faith in the Messiah to come, he was going to put her away quietly. Just let it be. Divorce her, be done, walk away, let it go. But the angel came to him and said, "Don't be afraid, Joseph. It's the Holy Spirit. This is the child of God. She's conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Joseph got equity from God. He got judgment in his favor by faith in Jesus and realized how he should judge this situation. And by faith, he changed his mind. He kept Mary and he raised Jesus as his stepson. Joseph, righteous man living by faith, singing the new song of Christmas. Who do you think of in these last three verses? Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound, and all that is in it. Here's the big clue. Let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. You go out in the fields, and you know the characters of Christmas. Stinky shepherds with smelly sheep, waiting out there for the night to pass because it's another boring night. And what else do they have to do but to keep the wolves and the animals away from their sheep? And when the skies parted and that angel came and then filled with more angels and told them Christ the Savior is born, find Him in the manger in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, they went. They went through those fields jubilant in their hearts and the fields singing the new song of Christmas and the skies bursting with the glory of God. And on the way back, they couldn't be quiet. Can you? Can you actually hear these things and then not tell anyone? Can you have friends that are depressed at work or relatives that you know that are down and out and not tell them that they have a Savior too? How do I know God cares? He sent His Son. He gave His best, the most awesome and wonderful gift He could possibly give. His Son sent to die for you and for me and for all. That's God's truth. That's the new song of Christmas. Do you see how simply it's sung? The words change, the language changes, but the song never changes. And Mary and Joseph and the wise men and the shepherds all sang the new song of Christmas. A song that's not calendar new, but a song that makes you new, makes our hearts all new and joyful. As one card reminded us this year, Christmas reminds us that God keeps his promises, that miracles do happen, that his love never fails. Sing the new song of Christmas, loud and clear, with the angels. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise.